Okay, we're going to talk about prayer this morning. And, you know, God answers prayer, doesn't he? Yes, he does. Let me tell you a story. Shortly after Dallas Theological Seminary was founded in 1924, came to the point of bankruptcy. See, we're not the only Christian ministry that has a little problem right now. Many of them have points in their history where they have difficulty. Well, Dallas Seminary is no different than most ministries. They came to the point of bankruptcy, and all the creditors were going to foreclose at noon on this particular day. And that morning, the founders of the school were meeting in the president's office to pray that God would provide the finances that they needed. In that prayer meeting was Harry Ironside. Some of you old-timers might remember Harry Ironside. He wrote a whole volume of commentaries from Genesis to Revelation. Was one of the professors there at Dallas Seminary. And when it was his turn to pray, he prayed in this way. He said, "Lord, we know that the cattle on 1,000 hills are yours. Please sell some of them and give us the money." While they were praying, a tall Texan came into the business office and said, "I just sold 2 carloads of cattle in Fort Worth. I've been trying to make a business deal go through and it won't work. And I feel God is compelling me to give this money to the seminary. I don't know if you need it or not, but here's the check." The secretary took the check and, knowing something of the financial seriousness of the hour, went to the door of the prayer meeting and timidly tapped. When she finally got a response, Dr. Lewis Chafer took the check out of her hand, and it was for the exact amount of the debt. When he looked at the signature, he recognized the name of the cattle rancher. Turning to Dr. Ironside, he said, "Harry, God sold the cattle." Isn't that amazing? That is awesome. God works in amazing ways. So God answers prayer. And as we think about the fact that God answers prayer, we need to realize that in response to prayer, God affects the lives of other people. And in this particular prayer, God affected the lives of the founders because they were praying. I mean, they were at the 11th hour here. I mean, the creditors were going to foreclose on the school. It affected the lives of students, both current students in the seminary and students for decades to come, because the seminary still exists, is still training men and women to be used in ministry. And it affected a cattleman who was used to save the seminary. And so God answers prayer, and through prayer, God affects the lives of others. And because God answers prayer, and because our prayers for other people makes a difference in our lives, we should be people who pray for other people, right? You and I as Christians should be people who pray for other people. But sometimes we're not sure how to pray for others. Certainly there are times when the prayer requests are crystal clear. When people in your life have something going on, when there's something in their life that's falling apart or a great need, and you know exactly how to pray. But other times we're not sure what it is we should be asking God to do in the lives of those around us. Well, the title of our message this morning is How to Pray for Others. And what I'd like to do is take you through the scriptures and just show you some of the things that God in his word tells us as we think about praying for others, some of the ways he tells us of how to pray for others. But before we get to that, let's answer this question. Why should I pray for others? Why should you pray for other people? We typically call that intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer is when one person prays on behalf of another. But why should we do that? Why should we intercede for other people? Well, first of all, we should pray for others because God commands us to do that. God tells us in his word that you and I need to be praying for other people. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people." So God wants us to be praying for people. In this particular case, he says for all people. And he just went through, you know, kings and those in authority and governors and just all people. Pray for everyone. And then in Ephesians 6:18, he says, "Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." And so you and I as Christians are to pray for our Christian brothers and sisters. We're to pray for all the saints, all Christians. Why are we commanded to do that? Because God chooses to work in the lives of other people through his people's prayers. That's how God works in the world. He works through our prayers. And he wants to work in the lives of those around you through your prayers. And if you stop and think about it a minute, how exciting is that? That God wants to work in someone's life through your prayers. And that God will work in someone's life through your prayers. God has already worked in people's lives through your prayers, and he wants to continue to do that. And so we need to be praying for others because God commands us to do that. Secondly, we should pray for others because neglecting to pray for others is sin. Well, it just follows on our last point. If we're commanded to do that and we neglect doing that, then we're not being obedient to the Lord. In 1 Samuel 12:23, Samuel said, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you." Isn't that interesting? Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. So Samuel says part of his responsibility as a prophet was to pray for the people. Well, you and I, as God's children, have been commanded to pray for one another. And so really, that applies to us. If we fail to pray for one another, then to us that is sin. In the Bible, there are sins of commission. Those are sins, those are things we do that we shouldn't do. And there are sins of omission. That is, there are things we don't do that we should do. Both are sin. And so when we fail to pray for people, when we fail to pray for one another, we're sinning against the Lord. Number three, I should pray for others because of the change that prayer can bring to their lives. I should pray for others because of the change that prayer can bring to their lives. Think about it. Because Abraham prayed for Lot, God gave Lot a way of escape from the city of Sodom. It was Abraham's prayer that God used to deliver Lot. Because the church prayed for Peter while he was in prison, God used the church's prayers to deliver Peter from prison. So if you want to affect someone's life for good, if you want to be a change agent in the life of someone else, one of the ways we do that is to pray for them. One of the ways God works in the lives of other people is through our prayers. We need to be praying for other people. Your prayers will make a difference in the lives of others. So think about whose life do you want to affect? Is it your spouse or your children or your neighbor or a friend? And you think, man, they really need this or they need that, or their life needs to change in this way, or they need to know the Lord, or whatever the case is. Well, there certainly are things that we can do to help people, things that we can do with our hands, things we can do with our feet. But one of the ways and one of the most powerful ways that we help other people is by praying for them. And you can make a difference in someone else's life by praying for them. And then fourthly, I should pray for others because there are things that God will only do in response to prayer. I need to pray for others, you need to pray for others, because there are things that God will only do in response to prayer. And I think that actually is an astounding statement, because God tells us in his word, and I'll remind you again of James 4:2, which says, "You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask." There are things we're taught in Scripture that we don't have, that God hasn't done, ways that God hasn't acted because we haven't asked him to do that. There are things we have missed out on, blessings of God we have missed out on simply because we have not prayed. So think of those people you love, your friends, your family. And remember, you can impact their lives through prayer, and that without prayer, there are things that God simply isn't going to do in their lives. It takes time and it takes energy to pray for people. I know that. It's not easy, and sometimes it's not easy to pray, period. But we must do that. And if we think about James 4:2, and we realize there are things God will not do simply because we have not asked, and we apply that to our intercessory praying for other people, there are things God hasn't done in other people's lives because we haven't asked him to do those things. That's a sobering thought. So we need to be praying for other people. Well, what do I ask for when I pray for others? How do I pray for others? Well, the reality is the possibilities are endless. And much of what we pray when we pray for other people is dictated by the needs and the circumstances of the day, or sometimes even the moment. You know, we have a prayer chain here, and many of you are on that email prayer chain, and sometimes crises arise at the moment, and that goes out over the prayer chain, and we know that is the need of the moment, and so you pray. And sometimes the need to pray is very urgent. So in that regard, I would encourage you to make it a point to become more aware and sensitive to those around you so that you know what their needs are. Because if you don't know what their needs are, you can't pray for them. But I also want to give you a list of things that will give you a foundation from which to work, things that I would encourage you to use in your prayers for others, because Scripture just comes right out and tells us, pray these things for other people, or tells us by command or by example. So the first one is this. How do you pray for others? Well, we should all be praying for the effectiveness of Christian workers. We should all be praying for the effectiveness of Christian workers. Listen to 2 Thessalonians 3:1. This is the Apostle Paul asking the Thessalonians to pray for him. He says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you." Pray for us, brethren. Pray for us, church at Thessalonica. And this is what you need to pray, that through our ministry, the word of the Lord, as we preach the gospel, as we preach God's word, that it will spread rapidly and be glorified. In Ephesians 6, 19 through 20, we see a similar request. He says to the Ephesians, "And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak loudly as I ought to speak." Paul says to the Ephesians, "I need your prayers. I'm out here preaching the gospel, and I need you to pray for me that God would give me boldness to proclaim the gospel." Interesting that the Apostle Paul, who doesn't ever seem to lack boldness, is asking for people to pray for him that he would have boldness, that he would have opportunity, that he would be able to do that as he ought to. So think of the impact that you can have on the world for Jesus by praying for people like your pastor, Sunday school teachers, missionaries, VBS workers, others that serve within the church in ministries where they're teaching. And God gifts people. God gifts people like pastors and teachers and evangelists and missionaries to do his work, sometimes on a what we might call a, you know, a professional or vocational level. And we need to be praying for those people. For example, I mean, God has called me as a pastor. He's given me the ability to study his word and to prepare a message and to bring that message. But guess what? That's not all there is to it. He empowers my ministry through prayer, both my prayers and your prayers. And you can actually partner with me in ministry by praying for me and by praying some of these very similar things that the Apostle Paul asked for prayer for. So what I'm saying is that you can partner with me, you can partner with others in bringing people to Jesus, even though you don't have maybe a direct relationship with someone. You're not the one sharing the gospel with a particular person, or you're not the one sharing God's word with someone, counseling with them, or getting alongside of them and that type of thing. But you can partner with those people by praying for them, and bringing other people to Jesus, or building up believers in their faith simply by committing to pray for them. And that's an important role. That's an important part. We need to pray for those that are being used of God to serve him, particularly in teaching roles, in evangelism roles, and missionary roles, things of that nature. We have a number of missionaries that serve here at our church and in places around the world. We need to be praying for those missionaries. And that's not just a vain exercise. That's not just something to do in your devotional time. God works in people's lives through your prayer. So are you willing to commit yourself to pray on behalf of others? And I'm thinking right now, particularly in our church, who teach God's word or minister in other ways. Would you be willing to pray for us as the Apostle Paul requested that the word of the Lord would spread rapidly and be glorified? And so think about it. And I know I can't touch on everybody, but as I preach, Peter does a lot of counseling. Melanie, who is just up here, oversees our children's ministry, ministers to a lot of children. Leanne oversees our women's ministries. We have Sunday school teachers. Maybe you're in a Sunday school class. Our Awana leaders minister to children. Our youth leaders work in the children's program. You may never go to any of those things. You may never go to an Awana group or be in a children's Sunday school class. But I want to assure you this morning that you can have an impact in the lives of the people that others are teaching if you will pray for those people that are ministering to those children and those adults. You really can. Prayer is powerful, and God works through our prayers. Secondly, we should pray for those who are obeying the Lord that they would continue obeying the Lord. We should pray for those who are obeying the Lord that they would continue to obey the Lord. 2 Corinthians 13:7, interesting prayer request. Paul says to the Corinthians, "Now I pray to God that you do no evil." I pray to God that you do no evil. That was one of the ways Paul prayed for the Corinthians. Did you ever think to pray for the Christians around you that they would not sin against the Lord? I bet that's not something most of us pray for when we pray for other people. But prayer is not only a remedy. Sometimes we think of prayer as a remedy. Oh, something bad happened, came on the prayer chain, so-and-so went in the hospital, someone had an accident, whatever is happening, quick, let's pray, God needs to fix this. But prayer is also a preventative. When we pray, there are times that our prayers prevent things from happening in people's lives. And so the strongest of Christians can fall to temptation, bring devastating consequences of sin into their lives, and what a tragedy when that happens. And so we need to be praying for one another. We need to pray for each other that we will not yield to temptation, that we will do no evil. And who is it in your life that you can pray for in this way? Well, I can think of a few people right off the top of my head that all of us need to be praying for that they would do no evil. Your spouse, your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, your pastor, your friends, the people in your circle of influence. Because what happens when we do evil is that we're going down a path that is destructive, that brings devastating consequences into our lives ultimately, eventually. And so we need to pray for one another that those that are walking with the Lord, those that are doing well with the Lord, would continue to do well and would not fall into temptation, would not fall to evil, because it is so prevalent around us. The devil works overtime to tempt us to bring sin into our lives, and God uses the prayers of his people to keep his people safe. In the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, one of the requests in there that Jesus gives is what? Lead us not into temptation. Doesn't say, and lead me not into temptation. That's a corporate prayer. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, deliver us from evil. And so you can pray for people that they would remain strong, that they would continue in their walk with the Lord, that they would choose obedience rather than sin, and your prayers on their behalf will make a difference. Number three, pray for people to accept Jesus as their Savior. Pray for people to accept Jesus as their Savior. The Apostle Paul prayed this, Romans 10:1. He said, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved." Brothers, my heart's desire, this is what I deeply desire, and my prayer to God on their behalf is that they would be saved. Now, Paul was thinking about his fellow Jews in this passage. They're lost. They've not accepted Christ. They've rejected him as the Messiah. They said, no, he's not the one we were expecting. He knows they're lost. He knows they're without Christ. He knows the awful fate that awaits them if they persist in their unbelief. So he prays for them, and he prays for their salvation. Well, are there people in your life who are lost? Are there people that you know who are lost, who don't know Christ, who need to be saved, who are not believers? Guess what? If God answers prayer, if God hears prayer, if God works in our world through prayer, if God works in the lives of other people through prayer, one of the things you and I need to be doing is praying for the lost. We need to be praying for our lost neighbor. We need to be praying for, if you have a spouse that doesn't know the Lord, pray for them. If you have children that don't know the Lord, pray for them. If your children, you have parents that don't know the Lord, pray for them. If you work with people that sit next to you at work, or maybe you're out in the field doing something and they're working with you on a roof or something, pray for them every day that God would bring the gospel into their lives and that they would be open to the gospel and that they would accept Jesus as Savior. Bring their name before God and ask Him to work in their lives to bring them to Christ. Don't just say, Lord, I pray for all the lost people in the world. You can do that, but I think it works better and it's more effective if you say, Lord, I pray for Sam. I work with him every day, and he is lost. He doesn't know you. He doesn't love you. He doesn't even know who you are. And I want to pray that you would bring him to know you as Savior. Now understand, God will not force a person against his will. So our prayers can't force salvation upon anyone, but they can make the way clear and they can help to remove the obstacles. So when you're praying for a lost person, let me give you some suggestions on how to pray for that lost person. Number one, ask God to bring the gospel into their lives. They need the gospel. They need to hear it. They need to hear about Jesus, his death, his resurrection. They need to hear that they're sinners. They need to hear that Jesus is the only way. So ask God to bring the gospel into their lives. And that can come in many forms. I mean, that can come through a television program, a radio program. It can come through you as God enables you to share the gospel with that person. It can come through someone else. It can come by them deciding to go to church one day and hearing the gospel. Ask God to bring the gospel into their lives. Then ask God to restrain Satan's work of keeping them in confusion and darkness. You know, the Bible says that the god of this world, the little g, he's talking about Satan there, the one that the prince of this world, he has blinded the minds of unbelievers to the gospel. And so we need to pray that God would restrain Satan's work of keeping people in their confusion and in their darkness. And then on the positive side, ask God to open their eyes that they might clearly see and understand the gospel message and their need of a Savior. Ask God to have His Spirit convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what the Holy Spirit's come to do, we're told in John 16. Pray, God, please convict Joe of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Ask God to bring people into their lives that will reinforce their need for Christ. Ask God to bring circumstances into their lives that will bring them to Jesus. Whatever it takes, but those are specific things that you can pray for lost people and see God work through those prayers. And don't ever give up praying for your unsaved loved one. Dr. John Walver told a story in chapel one day at the seminary about a mother who faithfully prayed for the salvation of her son and said she never gave up and continued to pray for 60 years that God would save her son. And 1 week before she died, she received a phone call from her son saying that he had trusted Jesus as his Savior. And sometimes we give up because we think, well, God's not hearing that prayer. God's not answering that prayer. Or that person's heart is so hard, they'll never change, they'll never come. But you never give up praying for them. Persist in prayer and ask God to work in their lives. Pray for them every single day. Number four, pray for your Christian brothers and sisters to grow in their relationship with God. Pray for your Christian brothers and sisters to grow in their relationship with God. There are a number of prayers in the Bible, and one of them is found in Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. And this is a prayer that Paul prayed for the people, the Christians at Ephesus. This is what he prays. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, I pray, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. In this passage, Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus, for the people at Ephesus. And the content and the thrust of his prayer is for their spiritual growth. But note the specifics of the prayer. Note that Paul doesn't just pray, "I pray that they would grow." He prays specifics for them. And then use it as a model when you pray for others. Listen to these. Wouldn't you like to ask God to do these things to the people in your church and your family and your friends? Wouldn't you love it if someone was praying these things for you? Verse 16, that you would have mighty inner strength. Verse 17, that Christ would be more and more at home in your heart. Verse 18, that your roots would grow deep into God's love. Verse 19, that you would really understand the depths of God's love. Verse 19, that you would experience the love of Christ. Verse 19, that you would be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So here you are this morning. And you say, "I have no idea how to pray for someone like this." Well, then simply turn to Ephesians 3, 14 through 19, and pray it right out of your Bible and personalize it. And it would sound something like this. "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant Joe to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in Joe's inner being, so that Christ may dwell in Joe's heart through faith. That Joe, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that Joe may be filled with all the fullness of God." Wouldn't you love it if someone was praying that for you every day? Someone. Pick someone. A couple of people. And maybe in the morning, pray that prayer for one person. In the evening, pray it for someone else. But pray that. That's a great prayer. That's a Bible prayer. That's a prayer the Apostle Paul prayed for the saints at Ephesus. That's a great prayer to pray for someone else. And you know God can use those prayer requests, those specific requests, to affect change in someone's life and to help a person to grow in their relationship with Christ because you're praying for them? That's awesome. When we take the time to pray a prayer like this for others, we invest our time wisely, we invest it profitably, and it will yield great results. So do it. Fifthly, pray for God's protection upon others. Pray for God's protection upon others. In 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 11, the Apostle Paul writes, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and he will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope. And he will yet deliver us, you also joining in helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many." The Apostle Paul says, look, we've been through many dangers. We've despaired of life itself, but God has protected us, and he will continue to protect us because you are praying for us. Did you know that your prayers bring protection in the lives of people? When you stop to think of all the danger that exists in our world on a daily basis, it is mind-staggering and overwhelming. I have a unique gift. I can see danger. I see it all around me. You know, I say something to my kids, and my kids go, "Oh, Daddy," you know. Well, I'm sorry. I can just see it, you know. So it's all over the place. And every day, people are injured, they get sick, or they die from a multitude of diverse causes. And I also believe that every day many people are protected from harm because of prayer. Every day there are people who are spared some tragedy because someone else was praying for them. Does God intervene in our lives to protect us because someone prayed? Absolutely. So identify people in your life that you can commit to prayer and pray for their safety. And here are some very practical ways to do that. Pray for their safety as they drive. I think I told you this once before, just even regarding myself and my family, I hardly ever, you know, there's certain routines you have when you get in the car. You get in the car, you know, you take the emergency brake off, put the key in the ignition, buckle up. I've got one more thing. Lord, keep us safe as we drive. I hardly ever start up the car without offering that prayer to God that He would keep us safe as we drive. Pray for people as they drive. Pray for people as they travel, as they're at work or school. And in this world we live, we know that there's danger in those places. As they work around the house or the yard, as your children are out playing with their friends, as they're doing a job that may be particularly dangerous. We've got in our church, people have dangerous professions like policemen and firefighters. And do they need our prayers, your prayers, as people that know them, know who they are, that they would be safe in those professions? Absolutely. As people undergo surgery, as they serve on the mission field, we need to be praying for them. Wouldn't it be great comfort to know that others are praying for your protection? Sure it would. It comforts me when someone says, I'm praying for you. You know, I'm praying that God would this or that or protect you as you do this or that. Do that for someone else. Pray for someone else. Prayer is powerful. Prayer makes a difference. God works in our world through prayer. God works in the lives of people through prayer. You and I need to be praying for other people. Well, I've given you five ways from Scripture that you can be praying for other people. So here's what I'd like to ask you to do today. Right there somewhere in the end of your sermon notes or some blank space in your sermon notes, would you do this? Would you identify someone or a couple of people that you can be praying for and jot their name down? And then out of these five things we've talked about, would you identify one or more of those things, maybe it's all of them, that you would commit to pray for these people, this person or these people, over the course of the next week or the next month or maybe even for the rest of your life? So take what we've seen this morning in God's Word and don't leave and just say, well, you know, that was an interesting sermon. But realize that God works through prayer. Realize that you can affect people's lives through prayer. And commit to pray for at least someone, some specific request, so that God could bless that person, work in their life, perhaps affect change, because there was someone that loved them enough to pray for them.